25 tonight. Here in the book of Mark, chapter 2, very familiar passage to many of you in the life of our Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 13 is where we'll begin. This is the calling of Matthew or Levi. Most of the disciples had two names. It says, "And he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, How is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." So not the righteous will be our title today. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you. We truly are thankful for Jesus and for the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. And Lord, the opportunity to assemble here this morning around your precious Word. We ask that you would now use it in our hearts, Lord, to grow us and to teach us, that you would be glorified in this service. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. May we leave and say, truly, it was good to be in the house of the Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. So this is the calling of Levi or Matthew. We've all heard of Matthew because he wrote a gospel. Matthew, of all the 12 disciples, is probably the wealthiest because he was a tax collector, or as it says here, receipt of custom. So he was working for the Romans and collecting taxes from his Jewish brethren. So he would not have been loved by the Jews in any sense of the word, because they hated the tax collectors because they hated Rome. And Jesus called a tax collector to be one of his disciples. And obviously they were in the village or the town where Matthew lived, because immediately after deciding to give up his living as a tax collector and follow Jesus, he invited Jesus and the disciples to come and eat at his home. As we see here in verse 15, Jesus sat at meat in his house. It's talking about Matthew or Levi's house. Well, of course, all the disciples were there, all the people that were following the disciples and helping along the way. But he obviously had a pretty good sized house, because not only did they all come, but it says many publicans and sinners also came into Matthew's house and shared this meal with Jesus and his disciples. So it would have been a very special time. And if you go to Luke 7:34, we'll see a parallel verse, Luke chapter 7, verse 34. But here we have the Pharisees standing around. Of course, they were always there observing, watching, trying to catch Jesus out, trying to catch him saying something or doing something that they could accuse him of. And that's no exception here. Luke 7:34, "The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and ye say, Behold, a gluttonous man and a winebibber and a friend of publicans and sinners." And we'll talk more about this later, but I hope that you can say, thank God he's a friend of sinners. Because if he wasn't, we would be in trouble, wouldn't we? Because we are all sinners. Jesus was and always has been a friend of sinners. He died on the cross for sinners. And, of course, the Pharisees, their problem was they believed that they could somehow earn heaven through their own works or their own righteousness. Look at Romans chapter 10, verse 3, and we'll see this. But the Pharisees actually believed that other people were sinners, but they weren't. And that's a very dangerous place to be, And if that's where a person is in the world, they're not going to find Christ. They're not going to find salvation, are they? Because the beginning of salvation is admitting that you need salvation. And if you're not a sinner, you don't need salvation, do you? Because salvation is the forgiveness of sin. Notice here in Romans 10:3, for they, talking about the Jewish people in general, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. You cannot be saved until you're willing to submit yourself to the righteousness of God. In other words, to admit that you have none of your own and that you can only get to heaven if you have His righteousness, which is imputed to us when we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. And there is no other way. You must submit yourself to the righteousness of God. Our righteousnesses, if you go to Isaiah chapter 64, God describes them for us. And this puts to rest any hope that we have of our righteousness gaining us anything with God. Notice Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6. It says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all, take note of that word all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Because we have nothing to offer God in the way of righteousness, because we are sinners. The only way that man can get to heaven is it took a perfectly righteous man, Jesus Christ, the God-man, to be our substitute. If Jesus had had any sin in his life, then he would have had to have died for his own sin. But because he was sinless, as we're told all through the scriptures, when he died as a righteous man to pay for all of us unrighteous people. And there is no other way to heaven but to admit that you're a sinner. If you go to 1 John chapter 1, now this is actually written to Christians, which we'll talk about in a little while. But you must be willing to admit you are a sinner. 1 John 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If an unsaved person or a saved person says, I have no sin, it says we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Because we are all sinners. You know, the world doesn't understand this, do they? They look at Christians and they often think, yeah, you Christians, you think you're better than everyone else. But we don't. We don't think that at all. We know we are sinners. And we know we're only going to heaven because God saved us from our sin, not because we're better than anyone else. We all deserve hell because of our sin. The wages of sin is death, the Bible says. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Romans 6:23, Revelation 20:14. And everyone, if you go to John 3:18, everyone is condemned because of their sin until they get the condemnation taken care of through Jesus and what he did. Look at John 3:18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. You see that word already? If you're an unsaved person, it's not that one day you will be condemned. You are already condemned. You already have the death sentence. It's done. You're going to hell. It's not that it's going to come later. You're already condemned. Why? Look at the rest of the verse. Because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Look at verse 36, same chapter. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. So every unsaved person, they're already condemned, and the wrath of God already abides on them. And righteousness isn't going to save them. because all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We cannot offer God anything. And yet, let's be real. The average person you talk to, if you ask them if they believe they're going to heaven, what's their first answer? Well, I'm a pretty good person. Well, I keep the Ten Commandments. Well, I'm good to my neighbor. I do this, I do that. It's almost always, more than 50% of the time, they try to point to their works, their righteousness, to say, that'll get me to heaven. Do you realize that what they're saying is that what they can offer is equal to or better than what God offered, which was the death of his only begotten son? Think about how blasphemous that is. What could compare to our own Creator becoming a man and dying for us? Voluntarily. And as he hung on the cross saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus did not come to call the righteous. He came to call the sinners. And until we make that transition as an unsaved person from righteous to sinner, we cannot be saved. Until we realize we aren't righteous and have none to offer, but that we are sinners and we have no hope outside of a heavenly Savior, we cannot be saved. That's why whenever we present the gospel to a lost person, you always start with sin. We're all sinners. Amen? And because of sin, we deserve hell. So Jesus here had to correct the Pharisees and their wrong thinking. But look at Luke 16:15, if you will, quickly. Another place where he had to rebuke them for a similar wrong thinking. Luke chapter 16, verse 15. He says, and he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. You see that word abomination? That's a pretty strong word, isn't it? And he's saying this to these same Pharisees that are criticizing Jesus for having a meal with publicans and sinners. And he says, you guys justify yourselves through your behavior, through your works, thinking that you're better than others. And what you think is highly esteemed and pleases God is actually an abomination to God, because you're offering it up as, I don't know, payment, opportunity to get to heaven, whatever. And let's be real, this is the main reason why many Jews didn't get saved during the time of Christ. It was because they believed that their Jewishness would get them to heaven, or they had been taught by the Pharisees and the scribes for centuries that if they would just keep all the jots and tittles of the law, they would go to heaven. And that, of course, is just not true. So Jesus, verse 17, let's go back to our passage here in Mark chapter 2. Here's his answer to their criticism. They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. Jesus always could bring things down to where we could understand it. Everybody understood a physician. Everybody understood that well people don't go to the doctor. Only people with a problem, only people that are sick, only people that need help, those are the ones who need the physician. I mean, it's hard enough to get an appointment, right? When you're sick, let alone to ring up the doctor and say, I'm feeling really good, but I'd like to see you anyway. Nobody would do that, would they? That's what Jesus is saying. As long as you guys think that you don't need me, then you can't be saved. And the majority of the world doesn't believe they need Jesus. How sad. You must be fit for heaven to get to heaven. And let's look at 2 Corinthians 5:21. And the only way you can be fit for heaven is the physician must heal you of your sin problem. Amen? We all have this amazing sickness, the worst sickness ever for mankind. It's called sin. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. We all inherited this sin nature. 2 Corinthians 5:21 is the only answer. For he hath made him, talking about Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, so there we find out Jesus never sinned, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So we must realize we cannot save ourselves, that we need the physician to heal our sin problem. And if we will come to Christ, look what he will do. He becomes sin for us. And what does this say? He gives us his righteousness. How beautiful is that? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You cannot save yourself. You cannot get yourself to heaven with good works. The Bible says even Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, right? Grace to you, saved through faith, not of yourselves, but of the gift of God, not of works. Lest any man should boast. And do you not think that if we could get ourselves to heaven, the first thing we would do is boast about it when we got there? I did just enough good works to get myself there, but poor old Howard. He was one short. He didn't make it. We'd boast about it, wouldn't we? But it's not going to be like that, is it? We're going to get to heaven. We're going to fall on our faces and say, thank you, Lord, for saving me from hell. We're going to offer him none of our own righteousness because it's filthy rags. So that's what Jesus says, verse 17 of our passage. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So there's basically, I guess you could call it two doors. You can either try to enter heaven through the sinner's door or try to get to heaven through the saint's door. Amen. And by the way, the saint's door is locked. You're not going to make it. You got to go through the sinner's door. Jesus did not come to call the righteous. He came to call the sinners. And you cannot get to heaven until you say, I'm a sinner. I cannot save myself. Only Jesus can save me. And if Jesus saves me, I'm righteous in the eyes of God. Amazing. Let's look at a couple of verses on this. Proverbs 21:2. God even tells us, even in Proverbs, that this is a problem with mankind in general. That we have a problem with self-righteousness. As a sinner and sometimes as a saint. But notice Proverbs 21:2. Every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. And then Proverbs chapter 30, verse 12. Let's look at it again. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness. Isn't it amazing that was written 3,000 years ago and it's like it was written today? That's God's word, isn't it? There's generation that's pure in their own eyes. We look around, that's exactly what we see, isn't it? Pure in their own eyes. They got it all figured out. And they're going to hell without Christ. Because they have to be washed from their filthiness. And nothing can do that but the blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing. A church can't, baptism can't, good works can't. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can wash away our filthiness. And we have no righteousness. Look at Isaiah 65:5 quickly if you would. Did you know that God hates self-righteousness? Let me show you. Anybody ever heard the phrase holier than thou? Did you know it came from the Bible? From this verse? which say, "Stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. These are a smoke in my nose, a fire that burneth all the day." This is God speaking. Self-righteousness is like when you get smoke in your nose. It's that way to God. It's not something enjoyable, is it? He says that's what it's like when we have this attitude. So I, and I'm sure you, are so thankful that Jesus is a friend of sinners. And that's why he came to earth. And that's why he lived a perfect life. And that's why he called his disciples and trained them. And that is why he eventually then went to Calvary, voluntarily allowed them to put him to death, and came back to life, went to heaven, all for sinners. Amen? It was only for sinners. And the final sinner that got saved right before Jesus died was the man on the cross, who turned to Jesus. He can offer Jesus nothing. He's hanging on a cross. And he says, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And one of Jesus' final acts was to take that one last sinner before his death and say, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." How beautiful. "I'm about to die for your sins." He also said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Talking about the ones that actually nailed him to the cross. It's all about forgiveness. But self-righteousness, it's one of our problems, isn't it? It stems, I believe, from the pride that we got from the devil. And until unsaved people are willing to swallow it and say, "I have none. I'm a sinner. I deserve to go to hell." And then realize, "But Jesus paid for my sins. And if I come to him in humility of someone with no righteousness and ask him to, he will save me." How beautiful is that? Jesus said, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And self-righteousness, dangerous thing. Look at Luke 18:9, just quickly. Sometimes it can even, not typically with new Christians, but sometimes Christians that have been saved a while, the devil comes along and tricks them into the same mode, if you will, of self-righteousness. And here's what it does. "He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous," and look what it does, "and despised others." That's what self-righteousness does. It leads people to look down on others. How sad. But we have no place for that as Christians. We're just sinners saved by grace. Never forget that. And just keep telling as many people as you can that the perfectly righteous Son of God died for you. Amen? That's the only question they need to resolve in their minds. Why did Jesus come and why did Jesus die? If you can earn your way to heaven, if you can do anything to get yourself to heaven, either church or baptism or whatever, good works, why in the world then did Jesus have to go through what he went through? And who are you to think that you could offer God something that's equal to that? The perfect Son of God dying for you. There's nothing you can offer, is there? And that's the beautiful story of the gospel. Is that Jesus came not to call the righteous, but sinners. Now the Pharisees didn't get it. But I guarantee you all those sinners sitting around the table with Jesus, they were thankful for what he said. Amen. He didn't say, "Oh, you guys need to get out of the room because, you know, I'm Jesus and you're all a bunch of sinners." No, he enjoyed that meal with all these publicans, which they were the scum of the earth to the Jews, the publicans. And then this just general term, sinners. Basically, if you're not a Pharisee or a scribe, you're a sinner. And Jesus just enjoyed the meal with them, turned to the Pharisees and says, "I didn't come to call the righteous. I came to call the sinners." And a person who is well doesn't go to the doctor. It's only a person who's sick. You guys need to figure out what that means. then I'm the great physician. Amen? I'm here to heal your sin problem. But not until you realize you have one. So tell as many as you can the good news. First, the bad news, always. Start with the bad news. You're a sinner. All have sinned. Amen? And the wages of sin is death. Start with the bad news, then give them the good news. But Jesus paid the price. Christ died for us and rose again that we might have eternal life. He came to call the sinners. Amen? Admit you're a sinner. Come to Him. And let the great physician heal you of this sickness that every human being inherited, sin. And it is sin that's going to condemn people to hell. Not only the sin that they inherited, but the sin of rejecting Jesus Christ. The Bible says, this is the condemnation, John chapter 3, verse 19, that light is come into the world and men love darkness rather than light. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. That's the bottom line. People don't want their deeds reproved. And as soon as you admit that you're a sinner and that there's a God that you're going to answer to someday, now you become accountable for being a sinner. People don't like that. They don't want to be accountable. They don't want to be reproved. So they say, oh, well, there's no God, or it doesn't work that way. And how sad. Not the righteous, amen, but the sinners. Let's pray. Dear Lord, how we love you and thank you for your word. And Lord, we just pray that if there's anyone in this room that has not come to that point yet where they know that they need Jesus or they will be condemned to hell, I pray they would come to that realization, Lord, and that they would take care of it as soon as possible. The Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. May today be the day that they come to Jesus Christ and get their sins forgiven through what He did at Calvary. Lord, those of us that are Christians, may we be ever on the lookout for self-righteousness and never allow it to creep into our thinking, and always keep and maintain the position that we're just sinners saved by grace. And we thank you for that. So have your will and way in our hearts. How we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.